Thanks for coming, Kerwin. Thanks for coming. I think it was Solomon that said, there's nothing new under the sun. And that is true. But there are things that are to be discovered that we don't know yet from the Word of God. And so I'll get you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. That's going to be our text tonight. I'm just going to speak on one verse. I want to kind of just, it's a familiar verse, but it's not a common verse, if you know what I mean by that. It's all Scripture is inspired by God, but that's the text. But before I do that, I want to kind of preface what I want to say tonight by asking a few questions. And the first question is this. You don't have to answer me, but you can answer it to yourself. How many Christians read their Bible on a consistent basis with the intention of hearing from God? Let me ask that question one more time. How many Christians read their Bibles on a consistent basis with the intention of hearing from God? I wrote this quote down. I thought it was quite interesting. If you want to hear God speak to you, read your Bible. If you want Him to speak out loud, read it audibly. And I know that that might be maybe a little funny saying about reading out loud, but the truth is God speaks to us through His Word. Second question, why is it important to read God's Word? I know these are kind of elementary things maybe, but we need to be reminded of the importance of this book. Third question, what is your level of maturity when it comes to your relationship or walk with God? You can ask yourself how many years ago you were saved, and from that point until present, what is your maturity level from 1 to 10? You could maybe ask yourself that. And the fourth question is, what is your guide through life on planet Earth? What is your guide? I'll respond to that. Maybe some Christians, although it may not be intentional that their guide is this, but it could be your spouse. It could be your savings. It could be your material possessions guiding you through your term on planet Earth. What is your guide on planet Earth? And we know what it should be. We should be guided by this book. Let's just read our verse. Very familiar verse, maybe not to some, but to others it might be very familiar. We've heard it. We've heard it quoted often. It's speaking to this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 reads this. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is my quote. Your maturity and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is directly linked to your knowledge and obedience to the Word of God. Would you agree with me? Let me read it again. Your maturity and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is directly linked to your knowledge and obedience to the Word of God. There's a story told in 1 Samuel about Samuel advising King Saul, and he was advising him to, when his enemies were the Amalekites, he said, go in and destroy the city, destroy the people, and destroy and kill the king. And Saul, thinking he was going to do good, kept a lot of the livestock. He kept the king alive. And his intention was that he would save those good things for sacrifices to God. But he wasn't obedient to the word of God. Let's just read that verse in Samuel. I think it's applicable to what I want to share tonight. You don't have to turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, this is after the fact, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey, we've often heard that, to obey is better than sacrifice. To listen directly to God's word as it speaks to you. Now, I know there's all kinds of things that hinder God speaking to you through his word. You can read your Bible every day and God may not speak to you because it's because of peripheral things in your life, maybe unconfessed sin or going in with the wrong motive or just checking off a list. To obey is better than sacrifice. A sacrifice is all the peripheral things that you're doing and not obeying what God clearly states in his word, and that could be a plethora of things, but reading God's word and being obedient to him, that is what God is looking for. The psalmist would say this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, why? That I might not sin against thee." God's word is, it's God's way of communicating to us this book. Another quote I came up with, you can agree or disagree with me, but I wrote this down. When a church body or a group of believers stops valuing and preaching the word of God, it becomes a carnal activity. It becomes a fleshly activity. When we don't uphold this book, and I just want to say before I get too far in, I am speaking to myself more than anything because there has been things in my life, even though I was reading God's word, God wasn't speaking to me because there were hindrances. There were things in the way that God couldn't speak to me. In my case, there was a few sins. They might have been trivial in some respects, but sin is sin. And so we need to be careful of that. So in our verse, I want to just go over four words in this. One of them, it says God's word is quick. Secondly, it says God's word is powerful. It says it is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it discerns. Four things that God's word does. This idea of quick. Sometimes we read on the surface, and if we really want to know, it takes a little bit of effort. And I can just say that because having done a little bit of preaching, you can kind of just go skim the surface of a passage, but if you dig a little deeper, you discover more things. And so the idea of this word quick, the idea is living. God's word is living. That means it's actively living, presently living. It didn't live in the past. It's living presently. Constantly and actively living. It doesn't become irrelevant. It consistently is relevant. John 6:63 says this, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Or you could even say they are your life as a Christian. This isn't my quote. I don't know where I got it. I think it might have been Spurgeon, but he said, "All moral awakenings and spiritual quickenings are traceable to the word of God." All moral awakenings and spiritual quickenings are traceable to the word of God. Basically what he's saying there, anything to do with the Spirit of God reviving a church or saving groups of people is always traced back to the word of God. And I can say this from my own personal experience, I would not be here this evening had it not been for the word of God. I got saved under the sound of the word of God because it was actively working in my life. Powerful. By obeying the word of God, individuals become born again. The idea of that word powerful, and I looked up in its context in I don't know what dictionary I looked it up in, but the idea is that it is effectual. By listening to its instructions, lives are changed, countries are changed, societies are altered. If you look in the world presently today, in the countries and societies where God's word is banned, it's not allowed, those countries are, for lack of better words, very depraved. And they're doing there's terrible sin in those countries. Not to say there's no sins in North America, because we in North America even, we have departed from the teaching of this book. And we need to guard against it, and I trust the elders are guarding against things that would come in that would replace this book. Sometimes I think, and we've had discussion in our own home, when you are scrolling on your phone and you're listening to podcasts about different preachers and sermons and quotes, and you don't read your Bible. And you have a tendency, because it's so easily accessible, to consistently do that, and that's your spiritual food. You're just reading what other men have said. And I'm not saying I've developed this message to some degree from comments from other men, but there's something about the sincere milk of the Word. And if you're not reading this book consistently, you're going to be immature. And we're going to talk about that a little later. I won't be long here this evening. The idea of being sharp. There is no part of man's being that his word cannot penetrate or affect. There is no part of you individually that God's word cannot affect. When God was working in my family's life, and I was all my siblings had gotten saved, I was the last to be saved of the seven kids. And unbeknownst to them, God's word, or the things that I knew to be true from this book, were just eating at me. And I was living a riotous life. And yet, God's word kept on. It was sharp to me. It was very sharp. It penetrated my soul to the point of Holy Spirit conviction and eventually repentance. And here I am today, I'm saved. That's because of God's word. This book, we take it for granted. I take it for granted. This is a powerful book. It's actually, it says, in Hebrews, it starts out, in time's beginning, God spoke to the prophets by his prophets, but in these last days has he spoken to us by Son. And we know that God is synonymous with the Word of God. He is called, the Lord Jesus is actually called the Word of God. Dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It commends and condemns. It rebukes and it restores. It approves and disapproves. What other book can do that? There's no commentary that can do that. There's no expositor on any book of the Bible that can do what this book can do. It is God-breathed. It discerns. It judges every movement. It judges every motive. That's true. That's what this book does. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What happens to you as a Christian when you neglect reading God's Word? What happens to you? You don't lose your salvation. That's for sure. We know that to be true. You don't lose your salvation. Let's just read in Hebrews. I want to go to the next chapter, chapter 5 and verse 12. The context is the idea of this high priest Melchizedek, and I'm not going to go into all of that, but I want to just speak on verse 12 through 14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, these are Christians who should have grown and matured spiritually to teach others, and it doesn't mean platform preaching, it means sharing truth with others. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. So what he's saying here, the author, Paul, is saying, you've stayed just here. You just stayed here. You haven't matured yet. You're not reading. You're not feeding on the Word of God. And you just stayed here. And now all you can do is barely understand what happened to you at salvation. And I'm having to teach you again the basic truth of how you got saved or how the Lord Jesus came down. And we can do that. But can you defend the gospel in depth? Can you defend against any argument that is posed to you? If someone at the booth, some smart guy that maybe is against the Bible, can you defend it? Or have you grown spiritually so that you can defend the truth of God's word? And so what he's saying is, I can't feed you. You can get all kinds of meaty teaching from this book, and it'll just be superficial to you. Because you haven't been reading and studying God's word. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to be on an equal plane. There's some of us that are going to be more studious than others. But the truth is, you're not going to go anywhere in your spiritual walk without feeding on this book. This is our lifeline. This is our lifeline. This is the book that God has left us. Read it. I encourage you to read it. Study it. You don't need a lot of commentaries. Just get a Bible dictionary. Start studying some words in their original context. And so Paul said here, I just got to feed you basics because you haven't grown. I don't know how old these Christians would have been in this setting, but what he was saying is there's no spiritual maturity. What did these group of people that Paul was speaking to, what would have been the solution? What would have been the remedy? And I just wrote down three errors. They are to remember where they came from. They were to repent of their negligence. And they're to return to reading or to the Lord Jesus. To return to their first love. That's what I'd advise you. I advise myself. When we realize that we have stunted growth, we all have periods in our lives that are maybe a little bit drier. We've departed from the Lord Jesus. Everything is kind of mechanical for us. Can you relate to that? Anyone relate? Remember? I could just remember when I got saved. I didn't know very much. I was under the teaching of God's word my whole life. I only had three or four verses that maybe I could say by memory, and they meant nothing to me. But I do remember this. I had a zeal to tell others about the Lord Jesus. And I had to ask myself the other day, where did that go? Why is that not as prevalent in my life? Part of the reason is, I have not been a student of this book as much as I should have been. God doesn't hold that over your head. He doesn't say, well, you messed up. I'm done with you. God's mercies are new every day. Great is his faithfulness. We can be encouraged this evening that God is looking to meet us right where we're at in our Christian walk. An older brother used to say to me when I was first saved, and he was discipling me, he had three words for me. They all start with R. The first one is read. The second one is read. And the third one is read. That's what he advised me. Read, read, read. With the intention of knowing God. Not like Saul. He thought he was going to do the peripheral things. He wasn't going to be obedient to the word of God. He was just going to do what he thought to be right. And we need to obey what we meditated on, what we've learned from God. You know, this book is black and white. There's not gray areas. We don't water down the gospel here. We don't say, well, you know, we want to offend that person, or we want to be careful how we speak to that person. Now, we do have to use discernment and wisdom. But the Lord Jesus never watered down truth. He is truth. And so I suggest to you this evening, if there's something that is keeping you from this book, kick it to the curb. Mine, I'll be honest with you, mine was my phone in the mornings. I have a routine. 5:15, my alarm goes off. I make a little bit of breakfast. I sit in the exact same chair every morning, put my coffee here, I eat my breakfast, and what I normally would do is I get on my phone, look at the news. I can't read my Bible and eat at the same time. That was always my excuse. And there were certain things that I would feed on. And you know what had started to happen? It was taking over my Bible reading. And I'd realize, and it's time, I got to get going. I got guys to take care of, I got things to do. And so what I was doing was replacing God's word with something that was religious, or not even religious, just basically mine was sinful. And maybe yours isn't necessarily sinful, but if it's replacing meditating on this book, then kick it to the curb. Just do it. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the power to do it. Confide in someone else if you have a struggle with something. I can confide in my wife, even my children. Say, listen, you know what? I'm slipping in this area. And I would encourage you, because this book is quick. That means it's active. Active in your life as long as you allow it to be. It is powerful. It is sharp. It might be uncomfortable sometimes when you take a truth and make it your own. It might mean that you're going to have to change. And it discerns your motives. It kind of exposes you to how you think and why you're doing things that you're doing. It doesn't have to be 6 chapters in the morning. It's not about volume. You don't have to, it's not like a checklist. It's maybe taking one verse, like I just did here. Take one verse. Read it. You know what? You can memorize it very quickly, one short verse. And then think on it through the day. This is your best investment right here, this book on planet Earth. This is the investment for godly living, for testimony, for witness. It's the book. And I think for myself, I want to know more about it because this book tells me more about the Lord Jesus. Hope I haven't been. I never want to be. My voice is kind of like preachy. I don't mean to be that way. I hope I've encouraged you to get back on track, consistent, every day, maybe twice a day. Spend an hour a week. Just get alone and just read God's word and ask Him to show you truth. He will absolutely do that. Let's just pray. Father, we thank Thee for.